tension among Protestants on every level of faith and practice. When I was teaching in Western Michigan, the Protestant chaplain on campus, we were good friends. He had a doctorate in theology, so he knew his Lutheran religion. And one day we had a dialogue, not a debate, but a dialogue for the students on the ministry. And I explained to the people how when we priests are ordained, we receive such special powers from Christ. Well, the professor and Protestant chaplain, he thought he had a special ministry. So I asked him with the people there, when you were ordained, did something happen to you? What do you mean? Did you acquire any power? Any power you did not have before you were ordained? I'm not quite sure what you mean by power. Well, I mean, for example, once you were ordained, you could change bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. Oh, no. Oh, no. So, now, once you deny the real presence, then it's no wonder that there are so many ministers, because they differ among themselves. Admission of changes among Protestants, they should be talking about tension, remember? One reason that I had to stop revising my Protestant Churches of America, by the time I would make another revision, they would change their denomination. New churches would come into existence. Old ones would disappear. Oh gosh. Page 261. This is Karl Barth. He is speaking of the slight effect produced by evangelical pastors when preaching the gospel message. He's talking to his own fellow Protestants. I'm quoting, I repeat, in my judgment, the greatest Protestant theologian in two centuries. Quote, at those times when the task of being ministers of the divine word has oppressed us, have we not all felt a yearning for the attractive worship of Catholicism and for the enviable role of the priest at the altar? When he elevates the sacrament, the double grace of his sacrificial death and the incarnation of the Son of God is not only preached in words, but consummated under his hands. He becomes a maker of his Creator before the people. I once heard it announced literally at a first mass, the priest is another Jesus Christ, unquote. If only we could be the same, how completely the poorest of sermonettes is transfigured by the saving radiance of the Eucharistic miracle. How well ordered and possible is the way of God to man and of man to God, which leads from this center, a way which the Catholic priest may walk daily himself and indicate to others, unquote, I repeat, the greatest theologian in two centuries in the Protestant churches. Isn't that good to hear? Oh, what a responsibility we have to our Protestant brethren. And remember, like took this girl who believes in contraception and being a big shining. I've never seen an engagement ring. It was, I'm not exaggerating, I thought about 3/4 inch high. Yeah. And a diamond on top. How they need, well, to see us living our faith, and I mean it, and be enchanted by what we believe. Okay. Then the riches of converts to Catholicism. Do you mind if I ask, how many of you here are converts to the Catholic faith? Gee, thanks for being here. I'm not quite sure that everybody that I know is a convert is here. I've got time to make the announcement. I would like to have a book published. I'll get the publisher. If you would write the story of your conversion to the faith. Would you want to do it? Will you? This too is part of our Christmas novena. Decide yes and tell me by the 21st of January. Then, of course, the self-reliance. The self-reliance is on self. And this is why the strength of our trust and fortitude depends on our faith in God. It was Archbishop Sheen who once said on one of his programs, as Catholics drop, they're going to confession, the psychiatric profession will boom. Psychiatry will boom the less Catholics go to confession, unquote Archbishop Sheen. The seed of 98% of what are called psychiatric problems are not psychiatric at all. They're spiritual problems. It is knowing what is God's will and then doing it. Finally, charity and truth. Catholic truth clarified by the Protestant challenge. In other words, Protestants have helped us immensely. Because, if I can use the verb, they have forced us to rethink our faith. And there are two councils, the Council of Trent and First Vatican. Now, the Council of Trent mainly met to answer the challenge of Protestants who still had faith in Christ. The First Vatican Council was met to meet the challenge of those who are still called Protestants but had lost their faith in divine revelation. In other words, error is permitted by God for a purpose. And the main reason why God allows error is to clarify the truth. When your mind is absolutely clear because your mind has been shall I so say coerced, compelled to rethink your faith, because you were challenged by intelligent, say, Protestants who denied what you believe. And listen to this. Our faith will grow only on the measure that we more deeply understand what we believe and why. Thanks for being here. You strengthen my faith, I mean it. Hope I'm strengthening yours. Our faith should be more deep in being more understood. Our faith should be more clear. Our faith should be more certain. Our faith should be more broad. Four ways in growing in the faith, about which he'll say more next semester. The divine purpose, I repeat, permitting error, is for truth to be better known. That is why I repeat, gosh, I never thought I'd bring Judith and Susan into a public lecture so often. I love them. Two wonderful girls, but staunch Protestants. But I had to understand my Catholic faith from the age of three. I knew all about Luther before I even began grammar school. Catholics must re-examine their faith. They must. Not for the sake of finding out whether it is true, but finding out that it is true so we might, more I repeat, deeply and clearly and certainly know the truth. Charity always, but never at the sacrifice of truth. Ah, how important that is. You've got to be very shrewd, very clever, very smart to practice Christian charity. Question. Do charitable people sometimes disagree with others? Do they? Do charitable people sometimes cause pain to others? Do they? Do charitable people sometimes lose their deepest and closest friends? Truth must govern charity. And finally, the crucial importance of practicing true, and once more, true ecumenism. The ecumenical movement, strongly recommended by the Second Vatican Council, must be true ecumenism. And true ecumenism is an ecumenism that never doubts for a moment that we as Catholics possess the fullness of the truth. In other words, for us, there was only one ecumenical movement. That movement towards unity, where the whole Christian world will once more recognize the Vicar of Christ on earth and the presence of the living Christ in the Holy Eucharist. And my clock says 3:39. Do we have any questions? Thank you. Thanks for writing big and dark. K. Can we drink liquids within the hour before receiving communion? No, except water. You may take water, but nothing else. Water may be taken within the hour before communion. I should. Is the soul made up of the memory, intellect, and will? Yes. The powers of the soul are intellect and will. Within the intellect is the power of retaining past thoughts. That's memory. And let me tell you, the most important memory is intellectual memory, remembering ideas and not remembering words. Did you get a chance to review the enclosed tape rentals available at a local parish? I submitted it last month. These are tapes. Rental library. Charles Curran My God. Then Gerzon Joshua to on Joshua, an apostate priest, allegedly in good standing, and as you know, speaking also, I understand, the Archdiocese of Detroit. You read Garzon and you lose your Catholic faith. La Verdier, the genius of Matthew. La Verdier, I know him well. Off the wall. Oh, Angry Catholic Women by Andrew Greeley. The Andrew Greeley, who is a millionaire, did you know that? He is a millionaire. And he made his money on writing sex novels. He is so wealthy, he contributed $800,000 to the University of Chicago. I haven't gone through the list. Thanks for the question. In Byron Center, my wife's hometown, a homosexual teacher married a man. We had a great discussion on the matter within our family, since we have many relatives attending the school. The school board will decide this week what to do about this. What is the appropriate Christian response? Remove the man physically. 4 men if you need them. Stand at the school door. Necessary death, I'm shoot you, rather than allow this teacher to go back into the classroom. Am I being taped? Thank you. Sometimes I wonder why the Lord had me on the stage for 6 years before he entered the Jesuits. I am learning why. A priest I spoke to who wrote, Your Way to God, says that priests were allowed to marry hundreds of years ago. Why not allow this practice again if the church allowed it before? Well, as you know, maybe you don't. Already in Christ's own time, the apostles who were married left their wives, and God provided grace for their children and the wives. The Catholic Church was founded on celibate apostles. Am I clear? By 300 AD, celibacy became obligatory on the Catholic priesthood. Because of concessions of the East, the Eastern churches had been allowed, and are still allowed, some of them, to have a married clergy. Celibacy is what Christ wanted and wants for his Catholic priests. Now, to marry hundreds of years ago, but I distinguish, I repeat, between those, like, for example, the Anglican pastors, remember, or clergy who allow to enter the church, remember, and remain with their wives and families. The papacy, to avoid a greater evil or perform a greater good, will allow married priests. Well, these Anglican priests, by the way, when they were ordained as Catholic priests, remain with their families. Their wife dies. Sorry, my friend. Sorry, Father. No more. New Protestants have a claim on the Holy Spirit, as they do not have confirmation. Please explain. Well, being baptized, if they are validly baptized, yes, they have, let's use the word, some claim on the Holy Spirit, because baptism does entitle them to graces from the Holy Spirit, but they do not have the claims that we have because we are confirmed. What is your favorite prayer? Oh, my favorite prayer is a memorare to Our Lady. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection and bore thy help or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I kneel, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despised on my petitions, for thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen. You never guess. I count the number of memoraries I say each day, and I jot it down each night. And over the years in being hospitalized, I've counted the memoraries before surgery. My record, I think, is 440 memoraries. Thanks for the question. One of our adult children has fallen away from our faith and is very turned off by my trying to bring her back to our faith. My husband says to back off. I say I need help. I need his help. as we are never done parenting. Oh, thanks. Keep that verb in mind. Your parents into eternity. I'm sure that mothers are especially concerned about their children on earth. Well, read more. What to do? Which books? What Bible? Of the Bible did the Protestants drop? Who remembers? The two Maccabees, Book of Wisdom, Book of Ecclesiasticus, Baruch, Tobit, and what else? One of my favorite things in class is to let a question not fully answered find out. Oh, pardon me. Are we supposed to leave at 4:15? Our daughter is very strong-willed and set in her ways. I'm very worried about her soul. What should I do? She says, well, she prays daily and believes in God. Well, I think the best answer, because this, as you know, affects, I mean it, several millions in the United States. As some of you may know, we are organizing an association for retrieving children. And do you have something there?
Fidelity St.
Monica. This is the St. Monica Fidelity Prayer. That's from the Sunday Visitor for November the 26th of this year. So what we're doing, and this is part of my responsibility to the Holy See, the Association for Catholic Catechists that the Vatican wants us to organize has three levels of operation, or will have once the Holy See approves it. I told you, we have five bishops that want to work with us. And among those who have already agreed, I think I told you, is the bishop-elect of Lansing. The first is to bring back those children, all those Catholics, who have given up their faith. Secondly, to bring back those who still believe but have given up the practice of their faith. And then thirdly, to cooperate with bishops in assisting them in their religious education programs in parishes. And the bishops need help. So, now, by the 21st of January, I'll be able to maybe provide you with some concrete information on what we are doing. And we're starting here in Detroit with a view, of course, of developing this nationally. But first, pray, pray, for your children who have lapsed from their faith. But be very patient, be very kind. If I can almost say, be excessive in your love for them. Would you say that receiving the bone marrow of a baboon ignores the dignity of a human being? Oh no, by all means. You get the question? Now don't go around telling people, you don't know that I've got a baboon in my body. Don't boast about it. No. You don't know your dignity. Is confirmation required to be a godparent? Well, not strictly required, but is highly recommended. And I would say, get confirmed as quickly as you can if you're going to be a godparent. How can I help my mother-in-law who has been away from the church for 20 years to come back to the faith? Shower her with affection. Don't even have to bring up religion. If she asks you, why are you being so excessive? Pardon me, extremely kind. Oh, it's because I'm a Catholic. I heard a Catholic argue that Mary and the saints have no power. They can only intercede. My question is, if Mary and the saints can intercede, can't we call this intercessory power? Do they not? Do they have any other power? Yeah, of course they have intercessory power. But listen, the power of intercession, of course, is a power you have to have your prayers answered. Well, the degree of power from your intercession depends on your holiness. The holier a person is, the more powerful their intercessory prayer. Who is more holy, or who is more holy than Mary? That's why you invoke the saints. The holier you are, the more power you have. You might ask somebody who does not believe in the power of intercession, ever asked somebody to give you, for example, a letter of recommendation? That's not intercession. I don't know what is. I was told the definition of original sin is original self-centeredness. Is this accurate? That's a new one. Not really. We can say, of course, that a person with original sin is self-centered. And that we coming into this world with original sin, we are born self-centered. Now your mothers, the child is baptized. Question. Are young children self-centered? Are they? Might ask, where else should the center of my being be except in me? So, self-centeredness is one of the effects of original sin. But it's not original sin. The essence of original sin is the loss of grace. Remember, grace and sin go together. Now, though we're baptized, we still have these selfish drives and there are seven of these seven drives. They're called the seven capital sins. So no, original sin is not self-centeredness. Please comment on the errors of feminist theology. And this thing is half full. Feminist theology began with Karl Marx. Karl Marx inherited the philosophy of Hegel, which is the philosophy of conflict. Said Hegel, there can be no progress without conflict. Marx bought that philosophy. Marxism has fostered conflict since it began. The conflict between the rich and the poor, the conflict between capital and labor, are from the beginning. The goal of Marxism is to foster and sustain and promote conflict between men and women. That is Karl Marx, whom I began to read at the age of 14. Every single principle of feminism is found in Karl Marx and his disciple Engels. It's all there. There's no progress without conflict. The deepest conflict Marx taught, and he's right, is that God, in whom Marx did not believe, created two genders. And God created these two genders to complement one another. The deepest need, as I've been saying over the years, the deepest need in women is to love. The deepest need in men is to be loved. And once you promote the feminist movement, and you train women not to love, you create chaos in a society. Or as my publisher Doubleday wrote the book, Sexual Suicide, the heart of authentic love between men and women is a selfless love of a man giving the woman what he can give and she giving him what only she can give. The essence of the feminist movement is what was born in hell, envy. Envy, that's why there's the devil. We envied God. Envied our first parents, brought sin into the world. Men envying women, and women envying men. Thanks for the question. You mentioned last time that the Catholic Church in America is in schism. Is it de jure or de facto? It is de facto. In other words, de jure means that it is canonically that the bishops of the United States have officially declared we are independent of the Bishop of Rome. No such declaration has been made. But de facto, what is a de facto schism? De facto means that in practice, in reality, in one diocese after another, the bishops are doing their own episcopal thing. And in the last edition of the Catholic Faith magazine, which I asked you, would you please subscribe to the magazine? Now, have I just heard yesterday, over 5,000 subscribers, and it's growing. Promote it. In the present issue, I have an article on sex education. Read it. Which I say that sex education found its foundations in 1968 when the American hierarchy said no to Pope Paul VI on contraception. Please explain the differences between Rogation and Ember Days and how to observe them. Well, neither Rogation nor Ember Days are, as you know, part of the new liturgy of the Church. There are meant to be preparations, I'm sure you know. For celebrating Christ's resurrection and also to celebrate the rise of new seasons. And the basic way was by practicing extra mortification and saying prayers, thanking God for the season that is due. For example, now, 4 days from today, am I correct? Will be the season of winter. Thank God for the fall season and thank God for the winter season to come. We can see more later on. But now, I really should know whether we really have to leave by 4:15. Who said we have to? Did somebody tell you? What did she say?
One of the workers at Domino's because of the light show.
One of the workers because of the light show. One of the workers at Domino's.
Yes.
In regards to the light show. Said that we should leave.
Have a light show?
No, we have to leave. Christmas
lights. The Christmas lights outside.
Outside. Well, the lights are outside. We are inside.
That's true.
The workers come in, Father, for instruction.
Please?
The workers come in for instruction.
For instruction.
Right over there.
Yeah, 408. We'll go to 4:15, okay? Then, don't rush out, just... What Bible should we use? Any English translation of the Vulgate? Don't Protestants believe that Christ is our mediator between God and us? Oh, yes. Of course, I repeat. It all depends on how Catholicized a Protestant has been. No two Protestants believe the same thing. Moreover, even historic Protestantism believes that Christ is mediator by his death on the cross. He won for us the grace we need. Oh, but hear this. But Christ mediated once and for all. Only one mediator. Jesus Christ, he died on the cross. And that's it. Don't you dare talk about any other mediation. Christ's mediation was finished the moment he died on Calvary. We Catholics believe Christ's mediation began when he died on Calvary. He won the grace. Well, these graces we must receive, especially through the sacraments and prayer. Is it ever possible to have a heart transplant ethically? My knowledge of the medical profession is no. My understanding is no. From the medical scientists working on this very subject, tell me, what prayers do you suggest for this novena? Oh, gee, thanks. I hope you have it, but it's the prayer of St. Ignatius. Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty. Anybody have a copy of that prayer here? It's called the Suscipe. Do you have it there? Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and all my will. Take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and all my will, comma, all that I have and possess, period. All that I have and possess, period. You have given all of these to me. You have given all of these to me, comma.